Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about some of the challenges that we will face as we start to, especially objectively, learn to move in the supernatural gifts. And if you remember, what we're looking to do is treat this as a training opportunity. This is not about somehow achieving a certain level or pleasing God or being in the right place at the right time, you know, being in His will. We've talked about all those things before, but really what we want to remember is that in your spirit, you are already one with Him. So there's nothing you really need to do or to be in order to get with God. You, in your spirit, you have all the information you need. You have all that is necessary to live as a spirit being here on this earth. So our problem is not our spirit. Our problem is our soul and our body. This is where we often get caught up with dealing with our enemies. We have a tendency to deal with one to the exclusion of others. And we have our multiple enemies here on this earth. We have the enemy of the world system. Just basically this world has its own power, its own life, its own pressures. And we need to deal with that as part of being here on this earth. And it is a legitimate enemy and something we need to deal with specifically. But we are also fighting a being, the supernatural being of Satan and his army, his cronies. And one of the things that really happens often is that things that are going on in the world system that cause us trouble, we often, instead of dealing with them as part of the world system and learning how to deal with them, we instead attribute them to being demonic. And that's something we really need to learn how to distinguish the two. Because if it's not demonic and you keep on trying to deal with it as it is demonic, obviously you never overcome that. And that's what we're here to do, is to learn how to overcome. And those two enemies, the world system and the devil, those are enemies that in our spirit have already been overcome. So the third enemy that we're dealing with is really the big kahuna, the big enemy we had to deal with, and that is our flesh, our crutches that we have created, our sphere of influence, our own, we want to be the our own lord of our ring, determine our own destiny, have control over our circumstances and our situation, and even God. And that is a legitimate enemy that we must overcome through dependence on God on our own. This is not something anybody can do for us. This is not something God did 2,000 years ago when he overcame our other enemies. this is where the rubber meets the road. So part of the process is being able to distinguish when we come up against any challenges, or even when we don't, because sometimes the lack of challenges is an attack. We need to distinguish the source of the who the enemy is, the source, and how to deal with it. And this is all done by being trained by God. He knows what he has in store for you tomorrow, and he wants you to be ready for it. You don't need to know what's tomorrow, what tomorrow may bring. Just know that he will have you ready for it. There's always this desire, and not a natural, it's a normal desire, to know what our future holds, so that we can, shall we say, prepare for it. We want to have control over how we prepare. We want to have control over how we are ready for it, rather than just having the confidence in God that we know that as we rely on him, he will have us ready for whatever our future holds. He's a loving God, and he does not want us to be ignorant about our enemies, but he also does not want us to be so seeking knowledge that we think that knowing something will equip us for tomorrow. So as we are growing in dependence on him, one of the things that happens is he is able to share more with us, because we know we aren't going to go blabbing about it, or we're not going to start changing our life in ways that are counter to the direction he has us in. For instance, as you spend more and more time with God, he will give you a different perspective on what he is doing in your life, in the world, in different spheres of influence. One of the big problems we have is we think that the reason that he's showing us these things is so that we can get involved or do something. And we really have to be diligent in asking the Lord why he's showing us something. Often, he just wants to share it. He is a loving, giving God, and he wants to share his enjoyment with us. He's having a party. He's doing good things. He's enjoying himself. And he wants us to be there with him, enjoying what he's doing. There may be times when he wants you to get involved in some way. But I think most of the time it's just because he wants us to be aware of what he's doing, so we can enjoy him and be happy and excited for the things he's doing. All of this is, of course, dependent on our growing ability to hear him clearly for ourselves. So we want to give him time to sharpen our hearing. And this always goes back to your training, that God has training for you that he may not have for anybody else. Now, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the gifts. And really, the whole term gifts and the whole the whole approach that many in the evangelical Western church has is not at all what was represented originally. And we have gotten so caught up in the learning, we spend very little time in the doing. So we've talked about you spending time and asking God and thinking about it for yourself if you have any interest in a particular gift. Now, it doesn't matter what it's called, because those labels are descriptions of something that God does. Don't worry about what it is that you are interested in doing or what it is that God is teaching you to do, that it doesn't fit into a nice, neat little box. You will find that over time, God is just not going to fit into those boxes. And the more you can come to terms with that and recognize that he's going to change your beliefs, the easier it will be to enjoy what he has for you. But those categories of the gifts, it's a great place to start. There's certainly nothing wrong with that approach as long as it's independence on God. There's no right way to learn or wrong way, again, as long as it's going to him for training. He may then turn around and put a book in your hands, or a radio program, or a person, or a church group, fellowship, or even a need, a situation. But this is precisely why we look at our day-to-day life as training, an opportunity to learn, that God has crafted specifically for you. And we look to enjoy what he is doing in our lives. And be patient and not get caught up in trying to get someplace fast. If you need to learn something faster, God will speed it up. He will pour it into you. He knows how to redeem your time. He's a loving God. He is not out to punish you. He's not keeping score. As far as he's concerned, you've already passed the test with flying colors. But it's up to us in many respects as to how we enjoy our time with him. So we've been talking about some of the challenges, and hopefully you'll start seeing how they fit with a specific gift that the Lord has been bringing to your attention that he wants you to be learning how to activate in your life. It's better to study and regard and think about, do your research about the gift before you get into a situation that involves other people. In other words, you study before you do brain surgery. So your first, one of the challenges we have is, okay, Lord, I want to learn how to, do a particular gift. I need people to do that. Well, not necessarily. I need somebody to receive that gift. Very often you don't, because the Lord wants to give you the research. He wants to teach you how it functions, why it functions. And so you can spend time with him and ask him to create those situations in your life, or whatever that particular gift is, will come in to play. For instance, maybe you're really interested in the gift of healings. Well, one of the challenges that has always been is the distinction between wanting to help someone who needs a healing and God's timing, God's purposes. And that's something we can learn way ahead of time. And do you want the credit? Odds are, every one of us knows someone who needs some kind of healing in their life. Well, if that's an area you're interested in, ask the Lord, how can I use a gift of healing in this situation? Would it be okay if the Lord healed through your involvement without them ever knowing about it? This is something we have a challenge about, because we do have a tendency to want to get credit for things. And the more we don't care about getting the credit, very often the more we are elevated to be in that position of people knowing, okay, this is who did it. This is how this healing occurred. Likewise, we often respond to hurting people. And people who are hurting often contributed to that pain in their lives. And we have a challenge to, again, be so attuned to God himself. If he wants to do something in that person's life, we do it. If he doesn't, we don't. Period. Sometimes he rewards bad behavior. And sometimes he withholds favor from good behavior. So if somebody has been terrible with their money and gambles it away, he may win the lottery. He may get that blessing from God. Where someone who's been diligent their whole life, there's an illness in the family, and it bankrupts them. This is why we need to see things from God's perspective. It's not about the effect of our training will have, primarily. It's being focused on the training. We will have a compassion, and we will have a regard and an objectivity and a love for his people. But that is not what will determine how we move in the gifts. So we've been talking about some of the challenges. Last we talked about being independent versus being dependent. We want to talk a little bit about being judgmental. So there are at least two ways that judgmentalism can play into learning about the gifts. First, when we're on the receiving end of ministry, we can reject the ministry given because it's not given the way we want it, the right way, the way we were taught, or we don't like the person ministering. Now, this is going to happen. And it can be somewhat predictable. For instance, it may be difficult for an older person to accept true ministry from a young whippersnapper. It's often hard for a man to accept ministry from a woman. When we realize that, we can prepare. We can just, well, since it, our thinking could go along, well, since it doesn't matter whether the person receives it or not, I can just let that go and give what I have received. And how they receive it is up to them. And we can be kind and loving and generous. And if they reject it, that's between them and God. But know that that's the case. There's going to be rejection when you minister. Likewise, if you are the one ministering and your ministry is rejected, or even critiqued, people look at it and go, okay, you know, you weren't really clear here. This was confusing and it got distracting. That's fine, because we do want to learn to be clear and concise and communicate well and be good advocates for who God is. In other words, we don't ignore our audience. In fact, all ministry is to be judged objectively. It's when we ascribe motives or manipulation that we are likely to offend or be offended. This will happen again, so we just prepare for it. So say you're somebody you don't particularly like comes up and gives you a word. And maybe it's even the word exactly that you needed. But they clearly don't like you. They still don't like you. And it's clear. But it's the word you needed. And it's a word fitly spoken. It's what you needed to hear. And you could tell it's from God. You simply accept it. You don't need to correct them. You don't need to say, well, you didn't smile when you said that. Well, how can I accept that from you since you said such a mean thing to me behind my back last week? Nah. Just say thank you. Accept it. And likewise, even to the other extreme, we don't take, if God has a word for you, to give to someone else, that maybe that other person has a problem. Don't try to use your own emotional desires, like maybe to encourage them. Maybe God doesn't want to encourage them. Maybe God has a corrective word he wants to give. We want to be objective and deliver the mail that God has put in our hands. We're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. That's going to be the majority of what we do during training. That's how we learn. That's okay. That's fine. Embrace that whole concept. But we want to make the most of our mistakes. We don't want to be making the same mistakes 10 years from now that we're making today. Are you learning from them? That's why we want to be objective about our training. What is God training you in right now? And you should be able to know that and be able to say it. Again, it may not be what we're talking about here, but hopefully if you know that this is available, you'll be able to come back and know, okay, you'll be able to get some encouragement and some starting points for learning about how to function in the supernatural gifts. So another challenge we have is just being critical. Now, judgmental very often is an honest evaluation. We have this idea that nobody should judge. And yet we judge every day, and we should. And we should get really good at it. Because what is a judge? Someone who can differentiate between the truth and a lie. Someone who can evaluate what is at the bottom of a situation. We should be good judges. Critical, being critical is looking at someone's behavior and ascribing motives to it. Why someone does something is really none of our business. And when we start looking at motives is when we start making things personal. It's the opposite of being objective. It's being subjective, being personal. And one of the challenges, one of the things that happens is when we start being critical, we start carrying the word beyond the giving of it. Whether it's a healing or some other gift. Say we pray for somebody to get healed and they maybe get a partial healing. Well, we call them up the next day and say, you know, are you still, how's everything going? Well, it didn't take. I'm still having headaches. Well, being critical is, well, you, what did you do to lose that healing? Since I prayed for you to be healed, you should have gotten healed. If you didn't, there's something wrong with you. We could say it's using the gifts to correct others' behavior, doctrine, or even their temperament. And this is probably the most disruptive aspect of any of our learning curve. Most people put off learning to move in the gifts until they're at church. So it's safe to say that all the mistakes are also saved for that fellowship. This can make for disruptive meetings. And even we can see it's what prompted Paul to encourage order in the church. The responsibility for order, though, lies with each individual to be able to self-discern prior to moving out in the gifts, to be able to judge themselves. Am I okay with this brother or sister? Before I minister to him, can I just deliver the mail I've been given? Can I just give what God has given me to give. So again, this is how we learn to objectively evaluate the activities in the spirit, in the supernatural realm, during meetings or in the other time. The more we learn dependence at home and make our mistakes privately, the less likely the mistakes that we make in public will cause undue disruption. And just as a little hint, a great way to deal with criticism on whatever scale is humor. It's hard to be angry when you're having a good time. So we will pick it up here next week. If you want to drop me a line, you can always do that at Diane@therainersclub.org. And I'll get back to you as soon as I can. I always appreciate hearing from you, and I appreciate your great feedback and questions. So until next week, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great weekend.